So what is your current situation? So many of us in the room, that varies heavily. And for some of you, you are inundated with so many different decisions, so many things, just life in general coming at you. And so for many of us in this room, you're sitting different. And you may not realize this. Yes, we're all in this room together, but that doesn't mean that we are of one mind and one accord together. The current situations really dictate how we feel, what we're supposed to do, maybe not do anything at all. So all of that to say, we need to be doers of His Word. This whole message series for the next 4 weeks is going to be about our current situation, how to deal with life, how to overcome circumstances, and use the Word of God appropriately so that we're not misusing it. I can do all things in Christ Jesus. Doesn't mean that I can do all things in Christ Jesus, all right? So we have to be very careful that we know what the Word of God says and that we appropriate it accordingly to His Word, that we don't take it out of context or that we don't use it and abuse it, all right? So current situation will be based out of the book of James. I would encourage you to read the book of James continually every week for this entire month and going forward. It is my very favorite book. I believe the whole premise for the book of James is that Christians do work. That Christians are, they're faithful. That Christians know what they need to do. That they're not sitting here feeling abandoned. That Christians are not lost. But they actually know what they're doing and they know what they're supposed to do. And that's what the book of James is all about. James is the one book that I would say that's near and dear to me because I grew up with an older brother who I love dearly. I do love my brother. We didn't really hang out much. That's the reason why I had imaginary friends in the woods. So we grew up in the woods together, but I didn't play with him. And so I was all by myself. But my brother, if my brother became a saint, like some of you are like, is he not? Yeah. He believes in Jesus and he's a Christian. But if all of a sudden out of nowhere he becomes like a prophet that walks on water, that all of somewhere that there's something, it would take everything in me to be like, for real? Like, is this real? Like, I would need, I don't know. I didn't, all the evidence is possible. Well, the book of James, here we're dealing with Jesus' brother, James. And in the very beginning, we know that his siblings did not believe who Jesus was. They did not understand or comprehend, and they had their questions. Well, here's James, and what we do believe is that James is one of the first letters to be written, and it was the first letter written to the church. And he was writing basically to explain how we should operate, how we should function as a human being. So when you come in doubt of what you should be doing, go to the book of James. The James books or chapters helps you out in every single particular and circumstances and all, okay? Now, some of you, as we start this morning, this message, you're going to be like, all right, when are you going to start reading James? I'm not going to read James until the very end because I want to set up the stage here, all right? So, again, let me ask the question, where are you in your current situation? There's a lot of questions that can be asked. Are you in a difficult situation? Are you in a confused situation? Maybe rejected. Maybe you're in a developing situation. Maybe you're satisfied. Maybe you're just the happiest person on the planet and nothing ever goes wrong and you're just like living life to the fullest. So each person's different. And we know there's seasons to people. We understand there's the ebb and flows of life and there's those moments where it's like, I love life. I also know there's people who are morning people and who are night owls. And that's different. You know, those people are unique. And then there's just people who are just optimistic all the time. And that's great too. But current situations, how we perceive them is really important. Now, the Bible actually tells us and teaches us a very key word, and that word is discernment. Discernment's important. Why is this important? Because in your current situation that you find yourself right now, the question that you should be asking next is, are you choosing to adapt to the situation, or are you rather trying to change it? So, what do I mean by this? Well, with that discernment, if you look throughout the New Testament, there's multiple moments that, you know, the best one is obviously the moment they're hanging out, they're in prison, and they just start worshiping God. Prison doors open, they change their situation. They could take off running, but they decided to stay. So in that current situation, they decided to stay in the prison rather than just being like, I'm out, and then they run. They paused and they said, God, what is it that you want us to do now that the doors are open? So we have to discern if we're supposed to sit in the situation for a bit. Okay, some of you, you're like, I want out of this work environment. Some of you cannot handle the work environment you find yourself right now. So it's interesting, sometimes I'll ask those individuals who come to me, say, hey, do you think I should just go find a new job? Maybe. But maybe there's some more work at your work that you need to do. Maybe there's someone there that you have been sent to minister to. I don't know. I mean, those are big questions. And you have to ask these, and that's where discernment comes in. Of, Lord, am I supposed to be in the situation and learn how to endure this for a season? I'm not saying forever. It doesn't mean you have to be a martyr. But you should ask yourself the question, all right, am I to sit here and adapt to the situation and see, Lord, what you have for me in this moment? Or do I need to change the situation? Those are really important decisions. And that's where you have to come to the Lord. You have to say, Lord, what is it? So, because knowing when we should change it is huge. So I'll help you out with this morning. When you should change it is when it doesn't align with God's word. Okay? So, for instance, are you sitting at the table of regret in this situation? Are you sitting at the table of hurt? As Anna, my wife, points out last week in her message, we're finding ourselves at tables and we're eating things that we shouldn't be eating. So are you in a circumstance or situation where you're just living in constant regret, disappointment, hurt, pain, unforgiveness? That's not a good place to live in. This is the moment of change. God doesn't want you to sit in these emotional allergies that come from the circumstance we're in. God wants you to be a changer. He wants you to change these atmospheres because he tells us that we can count it all joy.
That's right.
All right, so that comes to that, like, ask yourself, are you joyful? Are you seeking the Lord right now in all circumstances? So if you're not, and you're just sitting here and you're just the victim, or you're constantly in the victim mentality, oh me and oh my, and you're the one bringing everyone around you to be like, this is, and you need their assistance, their emotional welfare, and you're feeding off that, then I would say it's time to change, okay? Because that's not how we're supposed to be acting as Christians. We are victorious, right? We are the head and not the tail. We are blessed going in, blessed coming out. All right, we have more than enough. So in these situations, you need to ask yourself, am I living in regret? Am I living in disappointment? Am I having these emotional allergies attach themselves to me where now it's dictating not only my current circumstance, but my future circumstance? So this comes to my warnings for all of you right now is there's two warnings that I have for us this morning. The word warns us of these types of behaviors and the cause and effect that it places on our lives. So I want us to be careful when you say my current situation is this. And what you're doing is actually you're performing an assessment of both the present situation and the future outlook. So because of the circumstance here, you begin to do the math and you go, well, because of this and because of this, this is this. And you're not placing in the God factor of supernatural. You're not placing the God factor of the breakthrough. You don't know what's about to happen, all right? So I told the couple that I wouldn't use this story for a long time, but I feel like I want to use this story right now. So a few weeks ago, we had someone come to us and they said, man, we're hurting. We need some extra loving. And I said, well, you know, so my wife and I said, all right, you know what? We felt led to take care of a financial debt of theirs. And so I looked at her and they left and she and I are talking and we go, hey, okay. She said, I'm so glad that we offered to do this. And I said, me too. And so I was like, we got to do this. So praise the Lord. All right, you know, we're gonna step out in faith and we're gonna bless them with this money ourselves, okay? Well, we look at each other. Any extra money that we have in life, we're gonna give to our children. I mean, let's be real, okay? Any extra funds that come along, we're like, hey, we gotta bless our kids. They are needy, right? So we looked at each other, and we know our finances. You know, we know our finances. And so I remember her saying, well, where are we going to get this from? And I said, well, I'll just pull it from savings, you know, out of our regular budget. I'll just pull it from savings, and that's just what is going to happen. We're just going to step out in faith, and God will provide, and he'll take care of us. We didn't think another thing about it. Didn't even think another thing about it. So a few weeks ago, I was riding my bike into church on Sunday morning, so I'm riding my bike in. And so all my biking friends in here, there's only two right now, I think. But Stephen is one of my biking buddies. So Stephen will attest to this. So I'm just riding down the road. I got my music in. I'm praising God. This is awesome Sunday morning. It's going to be a great day. And I'm not thinking about anything other than just how good God is. And I start slowing down through my bike in the middle of the road. Because laying right there on the side of the road was $100, $200, $300, soaking wet from the grass of overnight. Three $100 bills just laying there. It's the exact amount that this couple needed. And I go, that's amazing. Now, some of you are like, did you stop looking? No, I kept looking. I looked for more. But my God says he takes care of the need, right? And so I did kept saying, but you said more than enough. But there they were. I came running in that morning and I said, Stephen, I need you to touch these three $100 bills because they were soaking wet. And he was like, what in the world? We never find money. Never. And yes, I know some of you are like, did you look for a wallet? Yes, I looked for a wallet. I did all those kind of things. I found nothing, all right? But here, it was such a blessing that God provided. And I just said, man, my God is so good. This was out on a country road. There was nothing around. And here it was. And I was like, God is so good. He just takes care of you. In that moment, I handed it to that couple. And immediately, they were like, what in the world, right? Like, and I told them the story, and they're like, this is weird. And I go, I know, but that's why we can't take a current situation and dictate the future situation. We worry about everything. Now, I'm going to share another story that's super sad, but it's a lesson that I've learned, and I will not do it. And I love my mother. My mother is wonderful. My mother passed away a few years ago from COVID, as many of you guys know. It was a super sad moment. But you know, I had to speak at the funeral. And so here I am up there, and here's her casket to the right. And my mom had two boys, right? Me and my brother Jeremy. And my mom would worry all the time about everything. And my mother would always say, I wish I would have had a daughter. Actually, I heard that when I came out, they were all like, oh. Now, mom swears it was a sign of relief, but I heard otherwise from everyone else, all right? They were hoping that I was a girl. So my mother has this instinct, because she was a good daughter, that daughters take care of their parents. She had this notion that Jeremy and I were just going to abandon her on the side of the road as she got older. And I was like, Mom, we would take care of you, right? Mom will always take care of you. So it was interesting that here I'm standing up there, and I look at the casket, and I see my mom, and I go, Mom, you worried about nothing. You were taken care of your whole life. You had the best of the best. Yeah, that's right. You never had to do any of what you thought was going to happen. And I can't tell you how many Thanksgiving moments that we had, where we were, meaning like the meal, the day of Thanksgiving, like the November date, where she's in the kitchen making the food, and I come in and try to help, and her daughter-in-laws are in there serving her, but she's sitting there, and she's having that mindset of like, wish I had a real daughter, she'll take care of me. And I was like, and she would say these things to me, and I go, Mom, we're going to take care of you. I don't know. I see too many moms with sons that just abandon their mom, and I'd be like, what is wrong with you? My mom, she would worry. She heard the one time that your nose and your ears don't stop growing as you get older. She had small, nice little ears, beautiful little ears, little nice lobes. And she would say to me, we'd be sitting on the couch as an adult. And she'd be like, I just can't believe my nose and my ears are just going to keep growing. I just look at her and I go, what is wrong with you? Your current situation does not dictate your future circumstance. You need to know that you have a God who loves you, who takes care of you. God's going to take care of all of your needs. You cannot sit here in worry and fear and allow it to dictate your life. You are worrying about nothing. You are missing out on opportunities to come to the Father's feet and say, Lord, what do you got for me? Give me the good stuff. I want to hear the good things. I don't want to hear about how big my ears are going to be someday. All right? I hope my wife doesn't divorce me at age 99 with my ears being too big. You know what I mean? Oh, honey, I'm sorry. You've gotten 1 centimeter too ugly for me. What in the world? Doesn't work that way. Second warning is, I want you to be careful to not view that current situation like a wave that has force, that as if it has the power and that God doesn't. That is really important. Too often in the circumstance we find ourselves, we think, oh, this is too big. You get anxiety, you get ulcers, you get heartburn, you're hurting, and you're thinking situation's too big. You allow it to have more power. You're giving it more power than the power that God has over it. You have to be careful of this. Be careful that you don't find yourself using phrases like, welcome to the real world. Life is hard. Deal with it. And I love this famous quote from Cheers. It's a dog-eat-dog world, and we're wearing milk-bone underwear. You have to be careful that you don't sit here and begin to say the world phrases and you're not saying the victories that God has given us to say, which is declaring God's word over our lives. We have to be careful. The word of God is full of encouragement. John 14:1 says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. I hope that I have a Savior that I can trust in, that he doesn't lie to me. That would be weird if we have a Savior who says one thing but then does another. If he says that I can trust in him, then I can trust in him. And then the circumstance I'm in does not dictate my future. Right? So yeah, it may have some bleak moment right now because the world's coming at me or whatever the decision was made and it was the wrong decision or maybe just everything is just feels overwhelming. But it doesn't mean that it is overwhelming. It doesn't mean that God doesn't have the answer. It doesn't mean that God doesn't have the victory, all right? So this is where, as Christians, we're supposed to do the work, meaning, hey, let's get it before the Father. Let's ask the Father, hey, what do you got for me? It's important that this encouragement is not something that only takes you so far. It's not just encouragement to put on your wall and be like, this is awesome. I want to read this every day. No. It's bigger than this. You're going to need to actually act upon God's words. You need to act upon his word. So for some of us in this room, maybe you need to imagine yourself right now physically in a desert. It's dry. It's hot. You're thirsty. It's huge. You're tired. You can't move anymore. Maybe you're irritated because you got sand in your shorts. Who knows? So imagine yourself there. What do you do? So some of us would start reaching. We would start yelling, right? Physically, you would start doing all of these things, trying to find someone's attention. If you saw an airplane, you would try to jump up and down. You need help, but you got nothing. You're all by yourself. You're in a vast Sahara Desert. There's nothing there. You're going to try to find comfort into things. That's our natural instinct. You're going to begin to actually miss your loved ones. You're going to start thinking about them, and you're missing out on what we should be doing. Because too often, as we begin to reach for these items as your lifeline, you're missing out on what God actually instructs us to do, which is stop those things and to actually reach out and call for him. That you need to begin to look around and realize that the only way out is God. So even in the physical situation you find yourself right now, and maybe it's not just physical, but maybe there's a spiritual conundrum that you have or a mental exhaustion that you have, whatever that circumstance is or situation, this is where you have to say, only God can get me out of this. I don't care how much research you can do. I don't care how much advice you can try to gather. Good advice is great. If you have godly people that you can reach in, absolutely. The Word of God instructs us to do so. But I'm going to go to my Father in heaven so that whatever I go to godly wisdom to Dan about, yeah. it's just confirming what God's already told me. Yeah. I like confirmation yeah. rather than revelation from man. So that I have a revelation from God himself, and then I can go to a wisely counselor as Dan. I can say, Dan, what do you think about this? And then Dan starts talking, and he's prayed about it, and I go, my gosh, this is awesome. You're confirming what God's already shared with me. That is how I want to live. So when I am in a place of a desert or whatever that is, I'm not going to start reaching for phones. I'm not going to start reaching for books. I want to just be in the presence of God because he is the answer to this. Now, you need to be reminded that not only did we receive Jesus as our Savior, but it's also very important that we choose that he's our provider. So many of us, we've prayed the prayer, right? Salvation. Lord, I thank you right now. You're my Savior. I've received Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior over my life. Lord, I know that you have washed me white as snow, right? You can say all the poetic terms right now. But you have to believe it. You have to walk in this as he's your Savior. But besides the Savior, you also have to reckon that he's your provider. He's your healer. He's your protector. So in these moments that you find yourself in, you have the victory over it because you know who has already won.
That's right.
So you have to choose this day to say, he's my healer. God, what is it that I need to be doing right now, Lord, to have the victory? God will begin to tell you some things. Oh, here's an answer. Here's some wisdom. Here's this next step you need to take. God will relay that information to you through the power of the Holy Spirit. So you need to be reminded of this. Finding yourself in the desert is finding yourself in complete surrender to him. I wouldn't just dismiss the situation you're in so quickly. I have told you for years now, I love these moments. I have learned to love them. At first, sure, I'm not going to lie. I hate those moments because it's difficult and it's hard. But now that I have a faith foundation over years and years of just being in the presence of God, I go, I'm in a circumstance right now that is very deserty. Yeah. But I get to see the Lord work. Yeah. I get to see a breakthrough. I can't go any further, so only God can do this. Only he can come into the circumstance and make it supernatural from this point. So now I get excited because I go, oh, I get to see a miracle. I get to see the things of God in action and operation. This is a good place to find yourself. It's a full surrender. So no matter the environment situation, how do we achieve a full surrendering or a full understanding of God's mercy, grace, forgiveness, and love? It's by replacing the lie that it is all lost. It is replacing the hopelessness. It's finding the joy in the abundance to say, oh, no, I'm not going to live this way.
That's right.
I'm not going to talk this way. I know what the Word of God tells me, and I know how I should be operating. And this isn't make-believe. I'm not asking you to click your heels and you know, just wish it all away. No, I'm telling you right now that you have to find the comfort in God and not in other things. You have to find your solution in the Word of God, in the presence of God, and not by the world standards. You need to know that you have a Father that loves you, and he's there for you. God is not the desert. That's the biggest problem that we find ourselves in. In the circumstantial situation, we say, that's God. This is God. No. God is not the circumstance or the situation, right? God is still good, right? It says that God is good, right? All the time, right? So for everyone in this room, you have to know this nursery rhyme really well. Jesus loves me, this I know. It's that I know that he loves me. His love is not to give me a serpent. His love is not to hurt me or cause infliction upon my life. His love is to bring breakthrough and to have his glory shown for what he has planned on this earth. And so it's for us to make that decision to go, oh, no, I'm not going to talk this way. I'm not going to believe this way because it goes against what the Word of God says. The Word of God tells me that I am victorious and that God loves me and I know this. In Psalm 5, 11 through 12, it says, but let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let him sing joyful praises forever. Spread your protection over them, that all who love your name may be filled with joy. For you bless the godly, O Lord. You surround them with your shield of love. Now, that's the NLT version. I love what the KJV version says in verse 12. It says, for thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. I love that I've got God's favor encompassing me. Everywhere I go is a shield all around me, that I have his favor. Another word for favor is blessings, that I have the blessings of God, that I know what I need. God knows what I need. So therefore, I will not doubt, or I will not question those things, that I will learn, God, what do you have for me? What is it? The breakthrough, God, whatever it is. So you got to declare right now out loud, God's favor is on my life, my family, and my ministry. So right now, I know some of you are like, I don't want to do this. I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes you don't want to do something. All right, I know this. All right, the Bible actually has all kinds of illustrations of people not wanting to do things. And some people in this room, you're sitting here going, why? Because you may have grown up in a denominational church of some sort, and you're like, no, we're supposed to just sit down, stand up, sit down. You tell me what I need to do. And sometimes people have a real hard time with this. Some of you had a hard time with Marcus. I loved it. You know why? Because he doesn't care what you think. See, a lot of times people, they get all conscious of like, oh man, what? No, he doesn't, that's not his motivation. You aren't his motivation. He is expressing the love of God that he's experienced on his life, and he is rejoicing before the Lord. He's actually trying to get you out of your shell to say, hey, let's rejoice. Come on, let's rejoice. It's worth it. Many people don't want to do that. They're like, I don't want to do that. And then for some reason you want to say something silly like, it's not in the Bible. And I go, you know, it's interesting. What's not in the Bible is let's pray and you bow your heads. That's not in the Bible. But if I said let's pray, you're all going to go. But when it says let's praise the Lord, we're supposed to give a shout, right? Right. We need to raise our hands. It says lift up holy hands. It says that. You're like, where does that say it? Timothy. See, it's interesting. It's like we want to only know what we want to know, what we're comfortable with, and that's what we're comfortable with. But you're missing out on the understanding that God's saying, hey, just full abandonment, whatever, in front of me, let's go, let's worship, let's do this. So when I declare this, some of you, you're like, I don't want to say this out loud. This is where you have to know what the Word of God says. It tells us to declare His Word over our lives. So here we go. So everyone right now, repeat after me, God's favor.
God's favor.
Is on my life.
Is on my life.
My family.
And my ministry.
All right, good job. Good, well done, good and faithful servant. Let me read this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. So my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. I like that. That works. In your current situation, you're supposed to be strong and immovable. It says, always work enthusiastically for the Lord. Here, this is it right here. For you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. I have never heard anyone who praises the Lord with full abandonment go, that was a little too much. I've never had any worship person in my life ever go, I probably went too much that day. I mean, unless you end up naked. Because David went full abandon in his skibbies, all right? So I think anything up to that moment, you're okay. Anything after, we're in trouble, all right? So this is the limit. That's the limit. You know what I mean? Like, that's it? That the limit's to get in your underwear? Like, that means that let's just start worshiping, you right? So in your circumstances, you're never going to lose out. You're never going to do something in vain worshiping the Lord. Too much. Too much? It's not possible. So this is the moment that you have to declare, man, am I worshiping the Lord with full abandonment? Am I doing what God's called me to do? Am I doing it without restrictions? I'm not going to live this way. I want this current situation to change. Why? Because it's not my final destination. I'm not going to die in the desert. All right? I'm not going to find myself in this current situation for much longer. So I'm just placing this in the hands of the Lord. Lord, you show me. What do I need to do? How do I go about this? So Philippians 4:10 through 13, Paul talks about it. He's talking about, financially speaking, some things that he was dealing with, but it says, "How I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again. I know you have always been concerned for me, but you didn't have the chance to help me. Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or an empty, with plenty or little, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." Amen. Paul knew and lived on the promises of God. Promises like Deuteronomy 31:6. So be strong and courageous. By the way, Paul actually quotes Deuteronomy chapter 31:6 a few times in his letters. So be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not panic before them. For the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will neither fail nor abandon you. By believing the promises of God, Paul would act upon the word as truth. This is truth. What God says is so. And so by doing so, he began to work upon that truth. Okay? This is faith. So he knew that he was victorious. He knew that he had the strength that he needed. He knew these things, therefore he acted upon those things, not foolishly, but by what the Word said. So in 2 Corinthians 1:3, it says, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, God, our merciful Father and the source of all comfort." So in those moments that he found himself, he knew that he still had comfort. So if he began to be a little uneasy, because it wasn't the expectation that maybe he had in his head, he leaned back and he goes, "But God is comfort. God prepares a table for me." Psalm 23, "Before my enemies." So therefore, I know what God says. I have comfort. I know in Lamentations 3:23 that his mercies are new every morning. This is the comfort for you, that you don't live in regret, that you don't live in the wisha, coulda, woulda, shouldas. You don't allow that circumstance to dictate tomorrow, because you have a new mercy that God is bringing you and breaking you through those moments. So you have to know what the Word of God says in 2 Corinthians 1:8 through 10. "We think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure, and we thought we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die. But as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely on God, who raises the dead. And he did rescue us from mortal danger, and he will rescue us again. We have placed our confidence in him, and he will continue to rescue us." I want to read a few paragraphs from a book that I just almost completed. I was about to say I completed it. It's a hard read. But I want to read something from this book, and I believe it's going to really help a lot of us in this room. It's a book written by Watchman Nee, and the title of it is The Breaking of the Outer Man and the Release of the Spirit. So bear with me as I read a little bit of it. God has installed a spirit within us to respond to him. The outer man, however, only responds to outward signals. A man loses God's presence and the enjoyment of it because his outer man is constantly responding to outside activity. We cannot eliminate all outward signals, but the outer man can be broken. We cannot stop all outside activity. Millions and billions of things in this world are occurring outside of us. If the outer man is not broken, we will react whenever something happens outside of us. We cannot enjoy God's presence calmly and continually because the outer man is constantly reacting. God's presence is based on the breaking of the outer man. Some who do not know God try to hold on to God's presence. What do? They look for an environment where there is no shuffling of the plates. They think that the farther away they are from people and activities, the closer they will be to God's presence. They are mistaken. They think that the problem is with the plates, the human distractions. No, the problem is with them. God is not delivering us from the plates. He is delivering us from being influenced by them. Everything around us can be in turmoil, but within, we can remain untouched. That's the key ingredient to the circumstances that you find yourself in right now. That the shuffling of the plates, You have the idea that all of that has to be checked off or taken care of before you can actually be in the presence of God. But in the turmoil, in the headaches, the activities, that stuff doesn't matter. You can still be amongst all of that and be sitting in the presence of God. You need to be practicing this on a regular basis, because I know some of you, you're juggling a lot of things. You got to realize that God's, he's not a ball that you throw in your juggling. He is who you are. Your presence of being around him, you're a reflection of him in your life, that you can be in his presence. And no matter how much you're juggling in life, God is with you. He is for you. He is good. He loves you. He wants to talk to you. He wants to be with you. These things don't have to cease in order for you to be in the presence of God. You just need to learn how to kill the outer man so that you can be in tune with the spiritual man and be in tune with the Spirit so you can hear the Father's voice. So stop with the nonsense that you can't be basically in relationship with God until he makes all things good. Because that's the problem. God's not good until he makes everything good to our standards. And we have to be very careful with this. Now, I will finish with the book of James. In James chapter 2, I laid a foundation for all of you because as you read now the book of James, you see how it all unfolds of how James is saying Christians do the work. Christians know what to do. Christians aren't abandoned. Christians are victorious. We are not push around figurines. We know what God has called us to do, and we are doers of his word. James chapter 1, verse 2. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking, but when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. Believers who are poor have something to boast about, for God has honored them. And those who are rich should boast that God has humbled them. They will fade away like a little flower in the field. The hot sun rises and the grass withers. The little flower droops and falls, and its beauty fades away. In the same way, the rich will fade away with all of their achievements. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. And remember, when you are being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong. He never tempts anyone else. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entices us and drags us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions. And when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. So don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. He chose to give birth to us by giving us his true word, and we, out of all creation, become his prized possession. I'd like for all of us to stand to our feet right now.